Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
So I'm talking about how a grandfather can communicate to his granddaughter. I'm talking about how a single mom can communicate to her son, or how a man can communicate to his wife, because those are the real issues. I want you to listen carefully today. Feel free to amen, and please be respectful with your moving. I want you to understand that the box that's in the middle, that is the foundation of masculinity and femininity, the home, is the foundation for the church, it's the foundation for society, it's the foundation for government. And that when that box is full of hell and chaos, so is society. Because God created, demanded, spoke it, made it that way. How many believe God created the heavens and the earth? May I see hands? Or just say amen. You see, it's that box, the creation of the family, that prevents women from having illegitimate children where a man sows his seed and isn't responsible. That is why God created man first. That is what he means when he says man has authority over women, which implies responsibility, not that he's over her. It doesn't say that at all. It clarifies family, who belongs to whom and who's responsible for whom. It brings order to sexual reproduction in this world. Can you imagine what the world would look like if there was no order to sexual reproduction? We have a glimpse of it today. It shapes identity and sexuality and gender. The problem is, and I want you to listen to me carefully today, is that the tendency to stress the equality of men and women by minimizing the unique significance of our maleness or femaleness. In other words, we're living in a world full of tolerance that wants to minimize the differences between masculinity and femininity, because they're afraid that Paul's writing in Ephesians 5, where a man is the head of his house, will be seen as some kind of authoritative dictator structure, and that is not what Scripture means. I will be explaining that to you later. But in Ephesians 5, verse 33, he sums up that passage, and he says, this is a mystery. And he says, it's profound, but I'm talking about Christ. Ephesians 5 and 33. And the church. You cannot be a Christian, not be connected to the church very long, because Jesus died for the church and the two are very well connected. Each one of you is to love his wife. And notice what it says. Men are to love his wife. And notice the word each one. The word each one does not mean that Jenny Knight should submit to every man in this building. That is not what it's saying. The very fact that it uses the Greek concept to each one specifically takes Jenny and connects her with Michael. It takes Amber, connects him with Josh, her with Josh. It connects you to your immediate family in the box. It's not where men are to rule over women. It is not what it's saying. But it says to each one, but it says for the man to love his wife as himself. Men can be kind of selfish. Look straight ahead. Do you realize, fellas, that when God created us, we were standing in the garden and alone and happy as a lark, and we didn't even know something was missing in our life? And that God had to tell us, it's not good to be alone. You need someone to help you. That masculinity is not enough. Men, listen to me. Man must not live by job alone. And many of you can be happy alone, but God created you for femininity. Masculinity has a male body part that gives. Not to be vulgar, but these were God's ideas. Femininity has a body part that is meant to receive. And God created masculinity because he saw that masculinity by itself had nothing to give to. And so he had the divine idea, women and men, but women were the divine idea of the mind of God. Because he saw that he was alone, but women, he didn't know he had a problem. Look straight ahead. He didn't realize that he was missing something because he's comfortable in his cave alone. And God had to tell him, Adam, something's wrong, boy. And so he creates out of his divine mind femininity with body parts that are meant to receive. The scriptures in the Hebrew call her femininity suitable, because animals did not fit. Animals do not have souls. Animals do not bury their dead. Animals are not creative. Animals are not created in the image of God. So he must take out of Adam a rib, according to theology, and create femininity. He did not take the rib from his feet so he could rule over her. He did not take the rib from her his head so he could rule over her, or so that she could rule over him. He took the rib from the side. And I actually don't believe it was a rib. I believe it was part of the male anatomy and a bone that a male human being has, doesn't have, but every animal does have. I don't have time to go there, but we call it in Kentucky a coon hunter's toothpick, all right? Moving straight ahead. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you want to build strong families in this church? Say amen. I want a good amen. The tendency today is to stress the equality of men and women by minimizing the unique differences of our male and our female. The results are going to be hell on earth. And we can already see a little bit of that. In a recent poll, they polled European men, and less than 2% of them felt masculine. When they polled American men, only 42% of them felt masculine. If you poll someone between 18 and 25, they find the term masculinity offensive. Poll someone 25 and older, they do not find the term masculine offensive. We're living in a world where they're attacking the foundation and the essence of who God created you to be. Masculine and feminine. And what is going on is that we're living in a world where the number one job of a grandparent or a church, and Titus talks about this, is to be able to look at a young man, and for a young man to look at his father and say, "Dad, what is it to mean to be a man?" And for a woman, a feminine spirit, to look at her daughter, and her daughter be able to look at her and say, "Mom, what does it mean to be a woman?" It is really important that you understand that not to minimize the differences. The bathroom issue is minimizing the difference. And quite frankly, I don't think the problem is the LGBT community wanting to hurt children. The problem is every pedophile and punk in this world that wants to hurt children now have access to the bathroom and the shower with my daughter. There is a problem, and there are times that the church has to speak out with love and intelligence against the things of this world and say, "Wait just a minute." And one of those areas is when we begin to say from our government to our children in our schools as a message to our principals, like Obama's administration did last week, and they say, "We don't want you to use personal pronouns. You're not to call a man, and you're not to call a woman unless they want to be called those things." God has a different solution. Someone say amen. And I want to talk about those solutions. You see, we're now facing a confusion over what sexual personhood is. Sexuality and its identity is more than a male anatomy or a female receptive unit. Sexuality amongst masculinity and femininity is much deeper than sex. And there is an issue going on because we're facing a confusion over what it means to be a man, thanks to Bundy and thanks to Roseanne Barr being our role models. We do not know what it means to be a man. And then you add religion to it, which I'm not a friend of religion. You add religion to it that says he is to rule over her, or that you are to shut up and do what I say because the Bible says so, is asinine and unbiblical. You have to also understand that she doesn't understand him, and she thinks that she wants to be loved, and she knows she wants to be loved, so she loves masculinity the way that femininity would receive love. And masculinity wants to love her, but wants her approval, wants femininity's approval, but masculinity loves femininity in a masculine way, and then the cycle of hell and chaos takes place in the box. Because if you do not know the distinctions, listen to me carefully, folks. If you do not know the distinct differences between masculinity and femininity, you will never be able to feel loved in this earth. And I'm going to prove it in just a moment. I want you to understand that the Bible is clear. God has given every human being a clear sexual identity. And what the church has got to protect is looking at our sons and saying, "What does it mean to be a man?" And teaching our daughters, "What does it mean to be a woman?" Today, the school, the states, the government, and even some crazy liberal churches are teaching that you minimize the distinctions of manhood and woman in the name of equality. That has nothing to do with equality. Unless you misinterpret theology, the truth is they're created equal. The Bible doesn't say that a woman cannot be the president of a corporation. It says just the opposite, actually. And the society wants to, Satan wants to destroy masculinity and femininity for a reason. You see, we're now facing a confusion over the meaning of sexual personhood. And the truth is, biologically, sexuality permeates one's individual being to its very depth. What do you mean, Pastor Michael? I'm talking about self-awareness. Everyone that's listening to me understands that you're aware of yourself. You're aware of what psychologists say are the I, the ego, or the id. You understand that you are a human being and that you're aware of yourself. Well, I shouldn't have hit you accidentally going through the hallway. Please excuse me. You were aware of yourself. The problem is, it's not a problem. The way God created you is that you were created with self-awareness. And because you're created with self-awareness, you are aware of the I. You're a distinct individual. And because you're a distinct individual and you're self-aware, because listen, dogs and animals are not self-aware. Dogs and animals have no moral being. They'll eat your cat and not have any remorse whatsoever. But a human being is different. She's a moral human being. She has morality. There's right and wrong. There's a self-awareness. My dog Leo is only aware of himself and his need to eat at all times or to chew up my yard ornaments. Can I have a witness? Amen. It's what you get when you buy a lab. But there's a difference there. And so there's a self-awareness with human beings where you have an eye. Now listen to me carefully, young man and woman that's graduating high school, because you're told just the opposite in this culture today. Because you are self-aware, and no one can argue that has a brain, you then go, I am a male or a female. I am masculine or I'm effeminate. Paul tells the church that in the last days, be very careful lest masculinity becomes effeminate. And so you have this awareness of self-awareness, and that self-awareness reduces itself, reduces, that I am a personal pronoun. I am a him or I'm her, himself and her or herself. There's masculinity and there's femininity. Folks, this is common sense, but how many of you know common sense isn't common anymore? Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. Sexuality and the conditions it brings to us affects every facet of a human being's life. We know that the I encounters not as an abstract. In other words, you're not self-aware in abstraction. In other words, you are aware that you are aware. It's not abstract, something you can't define. It is defined in masculinity and femininity. We know there's physical differences. Masculinity is meant to give because of the male anatomy part. Femininity is meant to receive because of her female anatomy. Femininity is meant to give. Femininity is meant to nurture. Masculinity is meant to lead. We're going to get into that. And that doesn't mean that femininity cannot lead. We're talking about in a home. We're not talking about with the government. We're not talking about in a church. We're talking about husband and wife in the way God set up the structure for the family. But the problem is today everybody wants to minimize the roles for the sake of partnership. And this can't be done unless we know the nature of the partners. How can masculinity become a partner to femininity if femininity doesn't know there's a distinction between masculinity? How can there ever be a partnership where you can build an incredible home? Who wants to build an incredible home? Say amen. And so what you have to realize is that the good news is that God doesn't leave us ignorant about the meaning of masculinity and femininity. Let's go to the backstory quickly. Go to Genesis 1. You see in Genesis 1, chapter 26, that God creates man and woman in his image. We've already spoke about that. And then you see in Genesis 2, where God established the man as the leader. He created him first inside the home. That doesn't mean that a man leads every woman. It means that he's the head of his home. Fellas, grab your chair, because the word for lead or create it first is the Greek or Hebrew word for authority, but it means authority with responsibility. So God puts you responsible over the box and over society as to building great families. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve sinned, God walked right past Eve and went to Adam and said, "What did you do?" So you can blame it on her giving you the beet, the apple, or whatever you want to call it. But the truth is, God holds men responsible for the leadership of their family. And I want you to notice that both were created from the separately from the rest of creation. In the very beginning, there was a difference between masculinity and femininity and animals. And when cavemen draw pictures of themselves with self-awareness in the oldest caves in South Africa, they draw a distinction between them as human beings and the deer they're hunting. The oldest human beings, there is not one archaeological record on earth of where a man did not have a self-awareness that he was masculine or feminine or that he was different than the animals. Now, I want you to notice God created human sexuality in his image. Both men and women bear the image of God. They're the reflection of God's image. And they're the reflection of God's image because God is a creator. And when masculinity, which is meant to give, and femininity, which is meant to receive, come together in correspondence, and that's the right Hebrew word for your family when we talk about authority and equality. In correspondence, they produce life. Why? Because God is the only one that can produce life. Someone say, amen. And you're created in the image of God, therefore you can produce and create also. Animals cannot create. They can create the same nest, the same way, every single year of their life, but you are never going to find a nest in a tree of a cardinal who decided to decorate his house with daffodils this summer. Not going to happen. And so what you have to realize is that we're imaging. And you got to understand that Genesis 2 and 18 says God had it, or Adam had it all. He was created first. But God looked at masculinity and said, something's wrong here. And what's bad, fellas, is we didn't even know something was wrong. God had to point it out to us. And he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And man was just fine being alone. That's the problem. We'll get into that later. And so the divine mind of God created and had the concept of femininity, which came out of God. A woman is much as created in the image of God as a man is. That is where there's equality. But there is a difference in distinction. And when this world wants to do away with the distinction between masculinity and femininity, listen, chaos is on the horizon. And let me tell you why, because I'm going there. I want you to understand when it says he's the head, that he had the authority to lead. Ephesians 1:22, 4:15, 5:23, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 2:10, Colossians 19. But men, being the head, means responsibility. That's the Greek word there. It means that you are the head of it. In other words, there is literally only one captain of a ship. There is literally only one airplane pilot that's in charge. No football team has three coaches with the same authority. Why? Because it would produce chaos. And God has created a distinction between masculinity and femininity. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And I want you to notice where God calls the feminine spirit suitable for the masculine spirit. And animals were not suitable. The word suitable means right, appropriate, particular. It means particularly right for the purpose. And when you look at the feminine spirit, the divine mind of God created females. And it was suitable and had a, and the word suitable is actually correspondence. It begins as simple as the man has a male anatomy to give and the female has an anatomy to receive. There was a suitability between the two. It is not about one lording over the other, but the Hebrew word here is actually correspondence. And when society teaches us that there and minimizes the difference between masculinity and femininity, it is telling us that there's no difference, there's no corresponding difference between the two. And when we buy that pack of lies, we will destroy our own selves. Now, I'm going to go a little deeper, because when you see that, it actually means aid or supporter. She's designed to want to help. Listen to me, men. Have you ever noticed that a woman, when you're working on a project, that you are building a fence, and she comes up to you and she wants to help? But when she offers her advice to you in your masculine spirit, when femininity walks up to you and in her and speaks to masculinity and says to you, you're forgetting that spot over there because you didn't paint it. What femininity does not understand is that you've just insulted masculinity. And what masculinity doesn't understand is that she isn't being critical of you. She's trying to help you. And I don't want any of you to tell Jenny what I'm about to say, all right? You understand me. Let me see your hands. Come on, put them up. I won't tell Jenny. When we first got married, I was digging a ditch. And that ditch, it was 32 below zero. It was 32 degrees or below. It was freezing outside, full of water because a pipe had busted. And it was the most miserable existence that I could find. And I'm not talking about a small ditch. I'm talking about a big ditch. And so I'm out there freezing to death, digging this ditch, trying to help the plumbers to get ready because our pipes had busted. Jenny Knight walks out of the house from that cool 85-degree warmed house. And she walks up to me while I'm digging the ditch, and she begins to point out the different things. That made me so mad because the way that I receive it as a masculine spirit is she's being critical. Every man, woman, here's what you don't understand, women. Every time you give a man unsolicited advice, he doesn't take it the way you mean it. He takes it as a critical spirit, as an insult. And so I blew up, and I lost it. My exact words to her is, how many ditches have you dug in your life? But you know what? I was wrong. Because what she meant, because of her feminine spirit, when she walked out because she's suitable, because she has been created by the divine mind of God to be a helpmate to me, she was helping me make something better, and she's doing what she does best, created by God, and that is home improvement. I'm not saying that women cannot be heads of corporation. I am telling you that if you're a woman, that your first responsibility, according to the book of Titus, is to be a good wife, and for you to love your husband in philo way, not agape way. We'll get into that in a minute. And for you to love your children. And if you're a man, your first job is not to live by job alone. Your first job is to build incredible families and lead your family and not let somebody else lead your family, or your wife bring your kids to church, or for you not to provide for your family. Because let me tell you something, ladies that are single, if he doesn't have a job, he's not God's will for your life. If he stays asleep all day long and won't get up and work, you need to kick him to the curb in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Because you're already off to the wrong start. But Jenny walks out and she points out, Mandy, everything that was wrong with that. It made me so mad, I thought my eyes were going to roll to the back of my head. Well, the truth is, she was doing what God had created her to do, and that is help. But as a masculine person, ladies, men do not see that as help. And you men, don't leave me hanging this morning. I'll pray a curse on every one of you all week long. You heard me. When a woman comes up and gives advice to a man like that, a man ought to, and I know women don't understand this, but I don't understand the other part. When a woman comes up and gives, a female spirit comes up and gives a masculine a person advice, I'm talking about in the home, in the box, that man takes it as criticism, as if he's not good enough, as if it's not up to par. And if you want a man to shut down like a carnival in a thunderstorm, then all you have to do is make him think he's not making you happy or gaining your approval. Because the way a masculine spirit receives love is through approval and respect. Ephesians 5:33. The way a feminine spirit receives love is through agape, unconditional love. A female spirit, according to God, the femininity, receives love when you love her even though she's got curlers in her hair. And you love her even though she's got one sock on and the other sock off and she gets into bed. Look straight ahead. And you love her whether she's gained weight or losing weight. You love her whether the makeup's right or the makeup's wrong. You love her unconditionally. Paul told men, the male spirit, to love females unconditionally. She wants to be valued and honored no matter what she looks like. Why? Because a female spirit can become exhausted with giving all the time. And what Satan wants to do is create hell in the box because you can too much moving around. Create hell in the box so that you don't know how to receive love. She feels like she's being used. She feels like he doesn't receive her. He's not listening to her. Have any of you ever been told by a female spirit, you're not listening to me? You didn't hear me when I spoke? I told you something and you went right through your head. You didn't listen to a thing I said. And what does a man say to the female, the femininity? The male says, I can tell you everything you just said word for word. And then she looks back at you and says, you didn't hear me. And he says, what do you mean I didn't hear you? I'm standing right here. She goes, you're just not there. And he goes, right here I am. What do you mean I'm not here? Right here I am. You're not listening. Yeah, you don't understand. I can tell you everything you said. And that is because God created the masculine spirit for communication in a different way than the feminine spirit. And the feminine spirit receives love in a different way than the masculine spirit receives love. And so what you find out is that he created them to want to help. And this crazy cycle enters in. 1 Corinthians 11 and 9 says, man wasn't made for the woman, but the woman was made for the man. Which means what the man lacks, the woman can accomplish. And when it says helper or suitable, it doesn't mean that the feminine spirit is diminished in equality. It means that God said you're a helper. Now, ladies, listen to me. Everyone with the female spirit. You're both created in the image of God, omega da. And God in the Old Testament, long before he was known as the bread of life or the lily of the valley, even in the earliest days of being called Adonai or Jehovah Jireh, the greatest Hebrew name for God, describing the attributes of God himself, was helper. And so out of God's spirit, he created a feminine spirit that wants to help. And guys, that's what you got to understand. She doesn't mean to criticize you. She's trying to help. But what you have to understand, females, is that he doesn't receive it as help. He receives it as criticism. We'll explain that in just a moment. And so you find out, as we go into the science, now listen to me carefully, without the awareness that we are supposed to be different, male and female are at odds with each other. And we expect the opposite sex to be more like ourselves. We expect as men for feminine spirits to be loved the way we're loved. And as female spirits, we expect a man to receive love because of the way we want to receive love. Here's a news flash. It's completely different the way God created it. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to ask God whether Adam had a belly button or not. And I'm not going to ask him to explain to me which came first, the chicken or the egg. I'm going to walk up to God and I'm going to say two things. Explain to me the difference between a man and a woman, and what in the world were you thinking when you did that? And then I'm going to ask him to explain tithing because I don't understand that either. And so what we have to understand, I want you to stick with me just a little bit. We have to expect the opposite sex to be more like ourselves. And when we do, it's what we expect. We get bad things in return. He looks at her and says, I'm trying to please you. I'm trying to be your hero. I'm trying to get your approval. Ladies, let me tell you something. If you want to shut down the masculine spirit, give him an inkling of a thought that you're not approving of him. Or that you do not admire him. He will shut down like a rock and not speak. And what happens when a man shuts down in an argument with a female? He goes away. And that's what women don't understand. That men go away and they come back closer. When I go away, I come back feeling closer to my wife and my children. But I've had to learn raising two girls that that's not the way they perceive love. That when I go away, they feel withdrawn from me. And that I have to work at it. But the thing is, you've got to realize that God put those distinct differences in each and every one of us. Because we think that we want them to want what we want, and we want them to feel the way we feel. And the attitude sets us up for disappointment in what I call the crazy cycle. The cycle of death and hell. Because it prevents us from communicating love. In other words, it is absolutely impossible for a masculine spirit to communicate love to a feminine spirit in a masculine way. It is absolutely impossible for a feminine spirit to communicate love to a masculine spirit in a feminine way. It is absolutely, positively impossible. Even Paul says, love agape and tells the feminine spirit to respect. And we'll get into that next week. And so how you receive love is different. And it gets kind of funny because we think if our opposite loves us as they would react and behave the way that we want them to react, like when we love someone else. But the truth is, when men and women are unable to respect and accept the differences, then love is impossible. But when you respect their differences and you understand how a feminine spirit sends love to a masculine spirit and how a masculine spirit sends love to a feminine spirit, that they're two different ways, but when you understand the differences, love can blossom in the box. Now, I want you to hear me. Here's some truth in God's word about the science of the differences. The truth is that a male is a fix-it. He wants to fix it. Jenny was talking to me about a problem here a while back, and the whole time she's talking, I thought, well, we'll do this, and then we'll do that, and we'll do this, and me fix problem. What does Jenny say to me? You're not listening to me. What do you mean I'm not listening to you? Men say back to the feminine spirit, I'm here, aren't I? I can tell you everything you just said to me. And it gets into this crazy demonic cycle of hell, but a woman is a home improvement. Her job is to nurture. She's created to be a suitable helpmate for the masculine spirit. And so she wants to come in and she wants to make things better. But a masculine spirit is independent. He wants to fix it. He wants to solve it on his own. And if somebody walks up and gives him unsolicited advice about doing something, he doesn't receive it as love. He receives it as a criticism. But a feminine spirit doesn't mean it in a critical way. The feminine spirit means that I'm just trying to help you. And so what's interesting is that male spirit that wants to fix it, it says to the female spirit, you're just trying to change me. My cousin wrote a number one hit song for Montgomery Gentry on the charts, Chris, called She Couldn't Change Me. Perfect song for this. But why he sees it as her wanting to change her, but the feminine spirit isn't wanting to change him, isn't wanting to criticize him. She's wanting to nurture him and assist him. That's what she's created to do. She wants to help him make it better. She wants to bring harmony to the home and harmony to the world. She's trying to improve the way he does things. She thinks, the feminine spirit, thinks that she's nurturing the masculine spirit. The masculine spirit thinks that she's criticizing him and saying to him, you're not good enough or worthy enough to do this. That I don't have any value in you. I don't trust you to do this. And I know that's crazy, but she thinks she's nurturing him. He thinks she's controlling him. But the female spirit looks at the man's spirit and says, you don't listen to me. And he assesses, when you give a man a problem, you know what he does? He assesses the problem. He comes up with a solution and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do A, B, and C. She doesn't want that. As a matter of fact, she offers a solution to make her, the man offers a solution to the feminine spirit to make her feel better, to let her know that he loves her and values her and he wants to do something about her problem. Here's the point, man, listen up. She doesn't want your help either. She don't want you figuring it out. She wants you to put the paper down and listen to her and value your conversation together. It's very hard for a masculine spirit to send love to a feminine spirit, and it's very hard for a feminine spirit to send love to a masculine spirit. But it gets even more interesting because he wants to make her feel better. And then what happens is she comes to him with a problem, like Jenny came to me with a problem, and I listened to her problem, I analyzed her problem, and I said, here's the solution. I have a good solution. I thought it was a doggone good solution. I thought it was a wonderful solution. Jenny didn't think it was a wonderful solution. It was logical, it was rational, and I analyzed the problem. I thought about all the situations involved, and I gave her the solutions. Well, she didn't like it that way. She didn't find it that way. And so you know what happens when a female spirit rejects a man trying to fix something or bring a solution is that the man gets confused. And he says, I don't understand you. What do you mean I'm not listening? What do you mean I'm not here? I'm here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know you do. Let me tell you a good rule. Never get quiet on a preacher. All right. I'm going to push you just a little bit further. And I know it's sunny, but this is important. I want to get to where I want to get. There is a distinct difference between masculinity and femininity. How many of you believe that? Let me see your hands. It's very important that you understand that if you're going to build homes that matters, families that matters. Femininity speaks love to a masculine spirit in the way that femininity knows love. Masculine spirits speak love to femininity in a way that masculinity wants to be loved and understands love. Because they have this self-awareness, which goes into personal pronouns of him and her, you have to understand, ladies, listen to me, sweethearts, that a feminine spirit needs to understand that a masculine spirit gets his self-identity in these ways. And ladies of Western Kentucky, when Cole is being destroyed by politics, and men are struggling on how they're going to do what God has created them to do, and that is provide for the family, he goes into a cave and withdraws to figure it out. Have you ever noticed, men, that when you go into a cave to solve a problem, you may be watching a football game, she'll hunt you down and find you. You want to know why? Because she doesn't see that you're trying to solve a problem and that you have to solve it on your own so you can feel competent. She sees it, men, listen carefully to me, as hostility. There's no reception. And when you go away to figure it out and she finds you, you see it as her nagging you. She feels hostile, and so the crazy cycle gets a going. And what's so interesting is that in Western Kentucky, where our economy is under attack, and I believe God is going to fix that. Somebody say amen with high-paying jobs in Western Kentucky. You have to be very careful because a man finds his identity differently than you do. Sexual identity of masculinity and sexual identity of femininity are two complete different things. A man finds his identity sexually as a masculine spirit in things you don't understand. He finds it in power, which means influence, changing things, cultural mandate, Genesis chapter 1, fulfill the earth and subdue it. He finds it in competency. In other words, I walk in my basement, going into my garage, and it looks like chaos after school. Duffel bags and soccer bags and baseball bats are laying everywhere. It drives me nuts. You know what a man wants to do? I want to come in. I want to organize it. I want to make a little list that says Lily and a little thing that says Ellen. Another thing says Aiden and one thing's Jenny. And I want to put the keys there and I want it all organized. I want it systematized. Why? Because I value competency. A man values competency. In other words, I'm competent. I can take care of this. A man values in his identity efficiency and achievement. And when what he does for a living is being attacked, he's very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. The danger is to offer a man unsolicited advice is presuming that he doesn't know what he's doing. You don't mean it that way. He doesn't understand you don't mean it that way. You're just trying to help. He sees it as you being critical. When you look at a female's sexual identity, you see that love and communication and beauty and relationships and the sense of self is defined through the feelings of quality of relationships. And rather than building, accomplishing, and those kind of things, she's more concerned with living together in harmony, community, and cooperation. She wants to nurture. For the woman, for a female to sign the sign of great love, if you want to really know how to love a female, the sign of great love, men, you're not going to understand this. Whereas it's a man receives advice that's unsolicited as criticism. A female is just the opposite. She receives love when she doesn't have to ask for it. And ladies, Satan can wear you out because you give and you give and you give, and you can get bitter because you feel like no one gives you back what you need. And many times he's trying to tell you he loves you, but he's trying to tell you he loves you through masculine language. And men, we've got to learn to speak female to female. And females, we have to learn to communicate in masculine terms. She wants you to help without being asked. Jenny says it like this. All you men, don't you leave me hanging. Don't you tell Jenny. She says, trash bag's full. Sydney, I look at her and go, yeah, it is. She looks at me and says, Brad, strawberry ice cream sounds great. Do you want me to go get you strawberry? Me man may fix it. You want ice cream? It's like a little puppy, man. If I can please you and get an attaboy from you, I'll walk over hell and high water. It's what men don't understand. Women don't understand that if you leave him alone and not give him unsolicited advice, he will open up a love and acceptance because he feels accepted. It's worth the price of admission. But when she says to you fellas, trash bag's full, you know what that means in womanese femininity? It means take the trash out. Isn't it a miracle, Anthony? Who would have ever thunk it? And so, because we communicate sexually, Satan can come in if he can confuse the gender differences so that no one ever feels love. It creates chaos in the home. When in reality, if you will learn how to be a masculine person and speak to a feminine person, and you'll be a feminine person and know how to speak to a masculine person, it blossoms love. How many of you getting anything out of this? Can I see your hands? Well, let me close. Jeremy, come on up, because I'm already out of time, but I want you to understand something. I want you to listen carefully to me. For a female, a sign of great love, men, is to offer assistance without being asked. Male, the problem is that when females offer you assistance, you feel like you're not loved. And to a man, she's sounding critical and unloving. But to a woman can make things worse by trying to help him. A man goes into a cave. And you know what a man does? A man's like a rubber band. He goes away, he feels closer. But the problem, men, is that when you go away to focus, she sees it as hostility and as if you don't love her. And it gets deeper because she comes and finds you because she doesn't feel that nurture. She didn't feel that unconditional love. And she thinks you're going away because she's done something wrong. No, you're getting away and watching football or going in your cave so you can figure something out, and then you'll come back feeling closer to her. And if she won't offer unsolicited advice and just let you go in that cave for a little while, he will feel as if she is accepting him, and she sends the message of love to him. But that cave, he has no idea that he's being distanced in the cave. After all, God had to tell men, you're alone. But a female talks out their problems, and they're not necessarily men wanting you to give a solution. They're wanting to be heard and accepted. And it's considered as a sign of love and trust that she's wanting to talk to you. But the danger is when you act in your masculine spirit, you want to bring a solution and she doesn't want a solution. She feels that you're ignoring her, and she says, you don't listen. He says, I can tell you everything you said. And she says, you're not even here. And he says, what do you mean I'm not here? Can't you see my body? And the wisdom is, when a woman is under stress, she's not immediately concerned with solutions or seeking relief. She expresses herself, and she wants to be understood and valued. And so the problem is men usually resist when a woman talks about their problems because he feels that you are criticizing him and he feels helpless because he can't do anything to help you. And so we go into this crazy thing where masculine men try to tell feminine spirits, I love you, I'm here to fix it. Which is not how she receives love. And a feminine spirit wants to send masculinity, the signal of love, and say to the masculine spirit, I'm here. It's missing right here. He sees it as being critical. He goes away to try to figure it out. She interprets it as hostility. And she takes his silence as if he's mad at her. And so you get into this crazy cycle. And what I want you to know today is that if you want to motivate a man and empower him where he feels needed, so how you do it, because a man that doesn't feel needed is going to die a slow death. How do you empower a woman when she feels cherished? Now here's where we're going to meet next week. Paul says, love the feminine. Agape, unconditionally. Accept her as she is, where she doesn't have to perform for your receptivity. Things don't have to be perfect. Paul says, for feminine spirits, to respect, not love, but in Titus 2 and 4, he actually tells older women, this is interesting, to train or to school younger women in loving your husband. It's not the same Greek word. It's actually the Greek word for philo. Be a friend and a support. So how many of you would like to burst your home in love? Can I see your hands? Love unconditionally and value her. Don't try to solve the problems. Be his friend and don't offer solutions, but let him know you approve of him and tell him it's a good job. And you'll be amazed at the fireworks that go off in this life. But if you drink the Kool-Aid this world is offering you right now and say there's no difference between masculinity and femininity, you will be doomed in hell and darkness the rest of your life on this earth because you will never feel loved and accepted. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you got anything out of this? Amen. Lift your hands and let me bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you bless this congregation. Bless every woman in here, Father, with the blessings of Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. Bless every man with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Bless every graduate and help us to build strong homes. And we'll meet you next week, God, in love and respect. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.